Just for a quick little review, in our last class, we looked at there being more than just this life. We looked at the rich man and Lazarus and saw that our destination, you know, it's sealed at death. And we also saw that the writings provide all that we need. Remember, Abraham told, you know, the rich man when he was asking about his brothers that they had Moses and the prophets. So we understand that to be the writings. And that's what we have, and that's what we should be looking to as individuals, and that's where we should be leading other people. It's from God's Word. We also looked at how a lot of people, they almost think that heaven is just something automatically. Not all view that way, but there are some that, you know, when you talk to them, that's kind of the idea that they give, that they would believe, or they do believe, that there's a heaven. But basically, that's just where you go after you die. So remember what we looked at as far as, you know, there's two eternal destinations. You know, we looked at heaven and hell, and the different terminologies that were linked to that word eternal, and the different verses that we had looked at. So let's remember that is what some people think. And, you know, we looked at Matthew 7, where it talks about, you know, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there's many that enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few that will find it, or few that find it. So we looked at the idea of striving. And we also saw that a little bit down in Matthew, the 21st verse, we also see this idea that those that are thinking that they are serving the Master, I mean, you know, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. So, just a reminder that's what we have to be looking to. We've got to look to God's Word, because it's His will that we need to be striving to do. Lesson 7. I titled that, What is the Gospel and Why Do I Need It? Oh, yes, sir. I'm sorry. I should have asked that. Does anybody else need 7? Anybody else? Okay. So, lesson 7. What is the gospel and why do I need it? You know, as Christians, the things that we're about to look at, it's not new to us. But this is to remind us. And also to remind us not only for ourselves, but also remind us so we will know how to use these things, or be reminded of the things that we need to speak to other people. But, you know, on that point, I just wanted to point out that being reminded of things is nothing new. You don't have to turn there. You're familiar. But in 2 Peter 3:1, we see that says, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder." So this is just the idea that, you know, it's not new for, and it's a biblical concept to be reminded of things. And we can see the benefit of that on each Lord's Day. We partake of the Lord's Supper in remembrance, right? You know, these are things that should cause us to be reminded of things, especially in the Lord's Supper, you know, to be reminded of what was done on our behalf so we can reflect on that. And then we also reflect on ourselves. And, you know, if you think about that, you think about what was done on our behalf. If we keep that fresh in our minds, that's going to keep us striving to do the things that we ought to be doing. So we see that reminders are something good. So we can see the importance of being reminded of things. We said that, you know, when we started the class, we looked at evangelism. One of the points we made is that it's bringing others to know the gospel or the good news. So that's where we're going to start. What is the gospel or good news? You know, why do we need it? What is the importance of this gospel?
Maybe because of sin.
Sir?
Maybe because of sin.
Okay, yes. Yes, we need it because of sin. And in our last class, we saw that the Bible speaks about these eternal destinations. And why is this? You know, what determines our destination? So we just got to remember that that's based on our relationship with God. We're, like Ennis said, we're separated from God because of sin. Let's turn to Romans 3:23. I didn't print that out on y'all's copy, did I?
Okay. 3:23, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, no, you didn't print it out.
Okay. I knew what you meant. Thank you, sir.
The words didn't print out. Yeah.
Okay. Well, because I did on mine, so I wasn't sure. So Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So we see, because of sin, we fall short, and we need a way to overcome that. Pardon me. Let's also look at 1 John.
Jesus said, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in my name."
Sir?
Sorry. Jesus said, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in my name."
Okay.
We have a responsibility to make sure we tell every word we do.
Okay.
When people have, people don't.
When people what?
People don't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
1 John 1:8. I'll get there in a second, I guess. There we go. No, I found it. pardon me. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And also, if we look over at chapter 3, same book, chapter 3, verse 8, we'll just look at A for this particular point. Says that the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Um, and Ephesians. Look over at Ephesians. Ephesians 2, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now..." "Of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." And also in 5a, again it says, "Even when we were dead in our transgressions." So we see this idea of sin and transgression, and that this is something that separates us from God. So, what is sin? Okay.
Transgression against the law.
Okay, transgression against God's law and lawlessness.
It's acting, by expandment of it, it's acting as if there is no law.
Okay. Okay.
Isn't that what people do? You ignore it? Dismiss it?
Yes, I would agree. But they could also think they're doing... Some could be in sin... striving, or not striving, but thinking that they're doing something wrong, or not doing something wrong. I'll get it out here in a minute.
I was just looking here in Ephesians 4th chapter, you know, we're talking about those who just ignore and who turn their back on the Word of God. Paul even talks about people, the Gentiles, who walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding because of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, you know, before Paul went to preach to these people, they didn't know, a lot of them, about the God of heaven.
Right.
That's what he preached, and he preached Jesus to them, you know. And so, you know, it's in this class, we're talking about, there are people out there who don't know, you know, that they're sin, or that they're in sin, and that they need saving from their sin. There's something about people, though, that want to do right, but they don't know about God's law.
Right. Okay.
I think that somewhere it says that Gentiles have a law unto themselves, you know, that in order to, you know, to rule and everything, that they have law. They didn't have the law. They didn't have the Mosaic law.
Right,
but
right.
It's not that God left them alone. He sent prophets to them out of time and time again. We see that. But there's so much because of ignorance that people don't know.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good point y'all are bringing up.
Let me say this. They said they didn't know. Even idolaters knew there was that religion out there called Judaism. Just like today, everyone knows there's that religion out there concerning Christ. Much they know Islam too. They know it's out there.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that's a self-imposed ignorance, or ability not to seek. Okay. At least to investigate. So it's not a complete ignorance.
Right.
But even back those days, they knew.
The rest of the verse Linda read said, because of the hardness of their heart, having become callous, they had given themselves over to sensuality. So that implies they could have known something. No. So God doesn't, if people cannot know, and there's no way that they're responsible, but we are responsible.
Right. Right.
even people who don't know. That's one thing people say, what about the people in the deepest, darkest part of Africa, and they've never had the gospel? At some point in time, they did. Their ancestors didn't pass it down or something. There is...
There was something...
If they can't, if there's no way they could have known, and no way they could have ever done anything. In Romans, he talks about creation. About what you see, you can mm-hmm. know that there's a God.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to have somebody come tell us. We can be able to tell. This didn't just happen.
Right, because the evidences that are around us
yes.
show that there is a God.
Yes,
that we're without excuse.
And therefore, if we're talking to people about the Bible or Christianity or whatever it is, they're not in total ignorance. We've got a starting point.
Right, right. Yeah, because a lot of them are just in trapped. You know, some have some knowledge of the Bible, or a lot of them do, but it's splotchy, or you know, and then just their knowledge is limited.
Or blinded by denominationalism.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to so many people about Christ. Oh, I'm a Baptist. What do you think you tell me? I've been a Baptist all my life. I'm Catholic. You know, I'm a Lutheran.
Right.
I'm a Pentecostal. Can you speak in tongues?
Romans 12, it says, this is to one man sin in the world, and death through sin. Death spreads to all men because all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. In Noah's day is when God specifically stated that, you know, man shouldn't kill another man. I don't know of any law that Cain had when he took Abel, his brother's life. There are things that God expects men to understand are wrong and should feel as wrong. And even people that aren't Christians know that there are things that are wrong to do.
Oh, yeah.
And people that aren't Christians, as we talked about, they have evidence of creation and can see that there is a God. And so, and it's not our goal to go out there and ridicule people for not, you know, being able to come to an understanding and be serving God. It's our job to help snatch those people out of the fire and teach them the truth. But they need to realize that they're without excuse. And so when we're talking to them, you know, like, Christian, and yeah, I mean, God or no God, there's some things that are wrong, and they're wrong because of the way that God made us.
Mm-hmm.
God made that clear within His creation, forever. So even when there was no law there, there was things that God expected of man not to do.
Good points, everybody.
Great.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not so sure that there wasn't a law for Cain and Abel, because it was by okay. faith that Abel offered his sacrifice.
Okay.
And to have faith, God has to tell us something. And so we don't know if that's what law they had. We don't know how it was communicated to them. But when Cain offered his sacrifice, it was not by faith, and Abel was. And so just because we don't know what the law was or how it was communicated to them, they did have a law. It wasn't just something they had a feeling that this was wrong or this was right, because Cain, God did not accept Cain's sacrifice because it wasn't the right thing. Not because he just liked Abel better.
Right. Okay.
Well, we know that
good point.
God did, I mean, God gave him I guess you could consider, do not eat of the tree of life, a law. Right? Yes.
That
tree of knowledge. Sorry.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
tree.
Yeah.
That's right. The one with the apple in it.
Where is she from?
Oh boy.
Well, I talked to her.
Huh?
But
you're
all talking about that.
No,
there's no train.
Oh,
right.
And it wasn't apples, it was pears.
No.
Great, I wasn't trying to imply that Cain didn't know that there was some law.
I just use that as an example. That there are ways that we treat our fellow man, how we, you know, love our neighbor as ourselves, that may or may not have been explicitly stated by God, but they are still expected to change.
Okay. I get a question.
Am I my brother's keeper? So we see that sin separates us from God. So what is sin? And you know, we just looked at that. Transgression of law or lawlessness. And some of the verses that I had put on there, we'll look at some of those. In 1 John 3:4. First John 3:4 says that everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So we see that that's the result of sin, or is lawlessness.
There's two words that appear twice in that verse.
Okay.
One's lawlessness, and what's the other one? Yeah. Practices.
Since they're also close. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And practices goes to action.
Right.
Goes to attitude. Goes to good works. It goes to obedience.
Right, but in this case, it's talking about the opposite. I mean, it says that they're practicing sin, and then so they're practicing lawlessness.
Well, I like verse 8. You know, verse 8 says, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil.
But yeah, I was basically just using this verse to see this idea of sin being lawlessness. But yeah, the idea of practicing can go either way, can it? Because those that are, we can practice being obedient or doing the things that we should. But in this case, it's talking about the lawlessness or the sin that is those who practice sin are practicing lawlessness. In Matthew 7, Matthew 7:23 says, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So we see this idea that those that practice this that won't be tolerated, because you know Jesus said that I never knew you. In Hebrews, oh, and also I put a note here too, because this idea where it's talking about, apart from me, you who practice lawlessness, that's, you know, that was taken from Psalms 6:8, and it uses the term there, iniquity. I just something for us to note. In Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. And I just put that there for us to see the idea of iniquity and sins. And then also in Revelation, we see that again. It said, "For her sins have been piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." So, again, just seeing the idea of iniquities and sin, another term that's used. And so that, because that's in iniquities, the idea of injustice or wickedness.
In one case he doesn't remember, in another case he does remember.
Yeah. Then that's the whole thing. That, well, we'll get to that in our next class. As far as
forgiveness.
The forgiveness, how we are able to be at that point where, you know, because some are remembered and some aren't. So we'll look at the idea of atonement and also sacrifice. So the gospel, or the good news, is the good news of Christ. And it is good news, because he's the answer for this sin. And, you know, we'll get into looking at that more, because we'll see that the only way that we can overcome sin is through Christ, and that he is the atonement for sin. Romans 6:23, it tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. This free gift, this is out of his grace, out of his favor. And it's not out of anything that we've earned. You know, we can't, it's impossible for us to live a perfect life. There was only one that was capable of doing that. And he's the one that was the atonement. So we've got to remember that, you know, there's so many that people think that, well, I'm a good person. But it's more than that. You know, it's more than just being a good person, because we're not capable of obtaining this on our own. You know, again, it's through the grace of God, and this salvation that we can have is through his Son. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to overcome sin. And when we look at these other classes, we'll see that, because we'll look at this idea of atonement, the idea of sacrifice. We'll see what did it mean in the, you know, in the Old Testament. And then, of course, we'll look at Hebrews 2 that'll help explain some things. But we'll notice when we look at these things that there's going to, just like the word atonement, I think it, off the top of my head, I think it's 88 different times that it was listed. And that's just all in the Old Testament. So we'll see this idea and how that term is used, and then we can also link it to what it means for us as far as this, as Christ being our atonement, and this sacrifice that was made one time for all times, and that forgiveness, or the way of being right in God's sight is only through Him. That's the only way that we can overcome this sin.
Okay.
Just putting Him on. Yes, sir.
We were reading Romans 6:23. Sometimes I find it very helpful when you read Scripture and you see a contrast being made, is to look at the elements of the contrast on the left side of the contrast and on the right. Now, to me, it helps enlighten certain things. So, if you start on the left side of the contrast, you have, first of all, the wages of sin. So, when you think about that, when we sin, we merit it. It's something that's merited. So, on the left side,
you earned that, didn't you?
Okay? So, someone's sin, you earned something.
Yes. Yes, that's good.
On the other
point.
Side of the contrast, you have free gifts, so that's unmerited. So, you have merit on the left, unmerited on the right. And then, on the left, we have death, and on the other side, we have eternal life. So you got certain elements there, and it makes, you know, the contrast is so strong and so striking. And then the question is, well, why would anyone, if they earned death because of their sin, why would they choose that? Yeah, and that's all around this planet, just to open their eyes to see what's going on. You've earned death.
Yeah.
But here on the other hand, you got God, you got eternal life, and it's a free gift. It's unbearable. You don't deserve the other side. But it is why we call things the gospel.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah, because like you say, yeah, we don't deserve it. But just by God's grace, you know, it was provided. That's a good point about the wages of sin. You know, because, yeah, that is unmerited. I mean, merited, sorry. I was about to mix those up. Yes, sir.
I'm thinking atonement, the blood of Christ, and I'm thinking eternal life. You know, we can't really conceive eternal life, time without end. You know, we can't conceive the universe, how many stars are out there. You know, we can't conceive Jesus Christ's blood going back to the beginning and washed with sins and going all the way in the future washed with sins. It's just like too much, you know, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand that it exists, and it's just fantastic.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's powerful.
Yes, sir. It's
that's a lot of love.
It's hard to comprehend the depths of it. Yes.
I think so.
Yeah, it is.
Compare it to those things, maybe it helps a little bit more to see how extensive it is.
Yes. Yes, again. But again, going back to some of the points everybody was making too, this idea of ignorance. It's, you know, the people aren't necessarily ignorant of everything, but they are ignorant of, they could be ignorant of their need for Christ. A lot of them are going to be ignorant of how to obtain Christ, know how to put Him on, because that's, you know, that's even like we studied in some of the beginning classes, you know, even when you get to the point where you have all these people, then they might even, let's say they agree on baptism. Well, is it, are you baptizing for the forgiveness of sin? And then once you get to that point, what is baptism? You know, there's all these different things that trip people up, I guess you could say, or some confusion that people run into, because is baptism, is it sprinkled, is it dipped, is it immersion, and these things matter, you know. And like we've looked at also before, is baptism, because a lot of people practice, well, that's what you do to your baby. Well, at that point, the baby doesn't believe. So there's just a lot of different misunderstandings, I guess you could say. Definitely error. And so there's definitely need for us to try to explain. Doesn't mean that people are going to take what they hear from us. But hopefully, if we can look to the Scripture and point them to the Scripture, that helps explain some of these subject matters. You know, that might be more helpful, or we might get a better result out of that. Because definitely, we don't want to just, like we said before, do it on our own think-sos or what somebody said. They're already trapped up in that. We've got to show something that's different. And what I mean by different, we've got to be able to show them where we're coming up with this information that we're giving them. Because I think it'd be more helpful, again, not everybody, but if it is someone that is seeking or trying to come to understand the truth, then if we're leading them from the Word and they have the right heart, then that's going to be beneficial.
Some things may not even be in the Bible, like the sinner's prayer, you know, it's not even in the Bible. It's a lie, it's been propagated. Showing people to believe it. Hey, it's not even there.
I think of the ways to show people how offensive sin is to God, how vile, how vulgar God sees sin. Because I think, you know, unfortunately, in this country, they have this nonchalant view of sin. You know, it's a big deal, so you lie. Big deal, so you know, it's a big deal. But it's highly offensive and vulgar to God.
Well, and not just that. I mean, something that we all can fall guilty of is, again, what we read, it says that sin is lawlessness. It doesn't say sin is lawlessness as long as it's not a white lie. Or, you know, it doesn't give categories or different levels to God. Sin is sin. So I think at times we try to, or might be guilty of thinking in that way. But, you know, because we might think, well, oh, well, drunkard or you know, homosexual or something like that. Wow, now that's a big sin. Well, you know, so, lying and covetous and all of that are coupled in the same verses. So, I mean, we've got to remember that to God, sin is lawlessness.
Green lies, yellow lies. Green lies. Same as white lies.
All lies.
Yeah.
Good lies. Are there any more comments or thoughts or anything?
Are you looking for something?
Well, we've got a couple minutes left, and we'll stop at that. I'll have to bring our next lesson with us. We got through this quicker than I thought. So
there's a comment. Well, we got a little bit of time.
Okay, yes, sir.
We're reading 1 John chapter 3.
Okay.
About practicing sin. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Sometimes when you try to teach someone, they will catch in a trap. When you read Romans, all the sin. Mm-hmm. And then you read verse 8, the one who practices sin by the devil. Am I a devil? And so it's important for us here in 1 John that practicing sin is not a person who commits sin, it's one whose life is of sin. I mean, it's one like in verse 6, one who abides in him. So it's a life of practicing sin, which is trying to live a life, practicing, you know, doing what's right. And why this is important is that, you know, here in 1 John, you know, the Gnostics, you know, they were saying you can sin and still be righteous. And John is confronting the Gnostics here, all through 1 John. You know, they thought you could practice sin and be okay. And you have a lot of sin, but of course that's not the case. And so you've got to be careful knowing the setting of some of these letters.
Right.
And it's different. This is different from Romans 3:23 to Romans 3:4.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I agree. I understand that because when you think of sinner, sometimes sinner could be referring to, we're sinners. But in this sense, it's talking about someone that is living a life of sin. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When we're teaching someone, we use these verses to explain that and make sure that we said before we're not putting up a contradictory explanation. We explain the sin.
Okay.
These verses, you know, take on an extra step too, and your argument is to the point that Gnostics back then, I mean, you've got a lot of religions today, they'll agree with you, oh yeah, that's sin. But they'll feel that they have this, they're right with God because the priest is confessing it, or maybe they see it's all encompassing grace, that, oh yeah, they were drinking time consumption last week, they went with, you know, God, but not sin is a big deal. You know, you've got that. But what's even worse and harder to deal with is people that are not even of the faith, and they see all this going on, and they see the hypocrisy, and they think, well, what's different from one religion and the other? They all think right. They're okay with God. Why can't I be okay?
Right.
You know, I don't. Why do I need this, to read this Bible? You've got all the Islam, you've got all the religions. They all feel they're okay.
The devil loves that.
Yeah. Abuse. Puts some abuse on.
Yes, sir.
50,000 different Christian denominations as of today.
Yeah, well, you talk about Apostle Paul and his past life as a Jew. The Jews were against Gentiles, but here he is being called by Christ to go to the Gentiles to preach. Mm-hmm. It seems like that'd be kind of a tough job for him, you know, to change. I mean, not only is he changing to Christianity, but he's changing and going to the Gentiles.
Right. Right. Yeah, but he did. But it was a tough job.
Yeah. I'm thinking that it would be tougher for him than it would be for somebody who felt more, you know. But he can handle it. He did a good job.
He did a good job.
Yeah, he was.
Read the Bible. I mean.